into practice.
That was last week.
Yes, it was. Melissa asked a question about how do I keep my body under subjection. Okay, and it was, and it really boils down to is you take the word of God and you apply that word from the heart. You obey from the heart that form of doctrine. And when you go through Paul's epistles, it always lays out the doctrine, then the practice. And a lot of times, it's either one or two extremes. So you can take grace.
Huh? Let me start at 4.
You
go right into the lesson, so make sure it's recorded.
I did.
Okay.
Yeah. We take, it'll be one or two extremes. It is, they put you under performance after you get saved and say, well, you can't do this and you have to do this. All the do's and don'ts that they put on you. Or just the opposite would be, if you're under grace and you begin to abuse that liberty that you have in grace, where because you know God won't punish you, you go ahead and do it anyway with no
conscience
or with no serious thought that
hey, might be affecting your brother.
That might be affecting. It might be affecting, right.
About not eating that meat sacrificed to idols, not because you're worried about it, but it might affect your brother who's weaker and doesn't understand.
Right. And not only that, is it's God's will that we walk worthy after we get saved. Not worthy to get salvation, but worthy because you have it.
Worthy of that vocation.
Right. And I know when Michael and Angela first came, and we were saying that there's two things. It's God's will that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Well, the salvation, it goes a lot deeper than just trusting Christ. Hold your hand there. Look at Timothy. We'll go back. We'll start again. But look at Timothy. Chapter First Timothy chapter, I believe it's chapter 2. First Timothy chapter 4. Start at verse 11. Well, I'll tell you what, we'll just kind of glean through. This is another passage where Paul lays down the doctrine and then he talks about the practice, how we are to apply these things after we learn them. And look at verse 4, or chapter 4, verse 1. He says, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils." And he goes on to talk about what they would teach. Look at verse 6. It says, this is to Timothy. Who's Timothy?
Son in the faith.
His son in the faith. It's his son in the faith, meaning his son not just in what Paul taught, but also his conviction for it, not on the doctrinal side only, but also on the practice. Okay. That was Onesimus, but same principle. But he says this.
Excuse me, Frank.
Yes.
Where we read from?
First Timothy chapter 4.
Okay.
We're at verse 6 now. Okay. And Paul says to Timothy, "If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained." There's the doctrine. It's what Paul taught. When he told Timothy, "Thou hast fully known my doctrine," And we'll look at that verse too. And he brings out that point. He says, but if you put the brethren in remembrance of these things, what things? It's the message. It's the grace. It's all men coming to the knowledge of the truth. It's just not. The foundation is Christ died for your sins. But he says, if you put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. And nourish, when you receive nourishment, that is a ongoing process. For in the physical and in the spiritual. Once you get saved, you need what?
Nourishment.
That's why he says, and to borrow a verse from Hebrews, that as babes, we should do what? Desire that you might grow thereby. So if you don't take these words, guess what doesn't happen? You don't grow. So the word does what? It matures you. It grows you up. I wonder how that happens. By studying, by believing it. See, God knows that his word is powerful. We don't. And I don't believe from experience that you could take it in on a consistent basis and it have no effect at all. Mm-hmm. It will.
Yeah.
Because it's so powerful that as a believer, that, and we talked about it where Karen said, where it is percolating overnight. Mm-hmm. You know, you ever get up and you maybe not ready to get up out of bed, and you go and put the coffee on and you let it percolate till it's ready for you to drink. And the word, it just while you read it, it just percolates in your spirit.
Well, it says it's living and active. It doesn't say it ever sleeps.
It never sleeps nor slumbers. It's working undercurrent. And then one day you say, you know, I don't feel like I used to feel about that. Or I don't think like I used to think about that situation.
Right.
And yeah, right. I said, right.
It changes your outlook.
It changes. Because it's transforming, you know, it's working, and it's just trickling down until it changes your behavior, a transformation. And he says in verse 11, he says, these things command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. There's Timothy and our exhortation for practice. Mm-hmm. Timothy's got the doctrine, doesn't he?
Mm-hmm.
He says, okay, now that you have these things, now that you are a good minister nourished up in the words of doctrine, he says, don't let anyone despise thy youth. Mm-hmm. What does despise mean? Not that strong, but despise is to look down on you, to esteem you lightly. What would make a man esteem a minister of the gospel lightly? We should know this. We see him all the time. What'd you say? What was the first thing you said?
Puffed up.
Arrogance. What else? What she's saying is you begin to see fleshly traits in them. So you begin to despise them. And he tells Timothy to flee youthful lust. There are certain things that young pastors, young ministers are subject to. And one of them, like Paul said, is pride. Look at back to chapter 3. Same book, 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. This is a true saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach. He's got to have the doctrine. He's got to have the doctrine, right? Okay, not given to wine, no striker, not greedy of filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous, one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Mm-hmm. Not a novice. What's a novice?
Amateur.
Yeah. A neophyte. New to the faith. He can't be, whatever you call it in the South, he can't be green.
Yeah.
Lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must have a good report of them that are without, which are without, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. See, God's intention is this. You don't separate the doctrine from the practice. That's his intention. God is under this weird assumption that when you get the word, we are to, as he calls it, we are to adorn it, to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Right? You know, that's when we were younger, like their age, when you got new clothes, oh man. New clothes, new shoes.
Yes.
You walked out, everybody knew. You got new shoes, you want to race?
Mm-hmm.
you thought it made you run faster.
Yeah.
Because you want everybody to know. Mm-hmm. Well, what about this?
All right.
Paul said, he said this. He says, they that run, we started with this, they that run all, or they that run in the race run all, but you run that you may obtain. Not salvation. But you mean tell me that I can get saved by grace? Completely a gift. And God says, but you can get something plus this. What do you want out of it? That's what he's saying. What do you want out of it?
How far are you going to take it?
How far do you want to take it? Listen, I was talking to a lady when I was down south, and I know, you know what? She might get this. She was asking me about the tape, so I won't say that. But there's people we know, believers that we know, and we all know it could be us that may be overtaken in a fault. And what we'll do is, when she asked me, she says, "Give me some of those tapes from the study." And I could have said, "Well, you don't need to learn anymore because look what situation you're in. You're not taking heed to the doctrine that you have." But why would I cut off her supply? How do you know which sermon would be the one? Right? One plants, one waters. Does he really?
Yes.
He gives the increase?
He's
the only way he can get increase.
How? Plant what?
The doctrine.
Waters what? With what?
The word.
The word.
And who gives the increase?
God.
With what? Yeah.
He works on
what's in there, right? Yeah. So if I cut the water out, or I cut the seed out,
or you plant the wrong seed,
where's the increase? Or believers do this. They know they're in a bad situation, and they go back to the garden.
Yeah.
when I say go back to the garden, they begin to cut themselves off from fellowship.
Dress themselves again.
And dress, or just hide. Mm-hmm. And it says, well, we miss you at the fellowship. And it's, well, I'm coming back. And they always say, I'm coming back when what?
When
I get straightened out.
Yeah.
And like my pastor say, when you get straightened out, they're looking at you in the box. Because it's not based on your behavior.
Amen.
To get saved. Now, look at Timothy. We're back to Timothy verse. He says, let no man despise thy youth, 4:12. But be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation. Word is your speech. Conversation is the way you carry yourself. Now we say, it's your speech, it's your daily life, not Sunday life. We can all put the front up on Sunday, right?
Yeah.
Couple hours, Wednesday, right?
You get that expression, put on your Sunday best.
Put on your Sunday best. We are, you know, when the real test is when you get home.
Amen. I'll watch your track.
I'll rot your tracks. And they want it, and they want to see it. They want to see that. I hope you don't, this doesn't bother you, but now they see this grace message. Now, I don't know who saw it first. I don't know if Michael saw it or you saw it, or maybe they saw it together. But suppose Michael came home and he says, honey, you won't believe it. I saw this guy talking about grace, and it's right. This message is right. And she says, I don't see that. You got to do this. You got to do this. You got to do this. You got to do all this stuff. I just don't see how a man can be saved just by that. And then Michael says, no, this is right. And he's sold on it. But he doesn't practice the doctrine. And all she would see is, what?
His walk.
Mm-hmm. And she would begin to stumble over him, and she would say, that grace, it couldn't be right. Mm-hmm. That's what the Romans' problem. They said, wait a minute. The more I sin, the more grace I get? Okay. And if the more grace I get, the better God looks. And he said, well, why does he find fault? Why does he yet find? So let us sin to get more grace. And he says, that's not the correct understanding. So what his responsibility would be is to walk in a way becoming grace, a way that magnifies grace. And I remember Annette and Ed were telling me when Annette had when she didn't see grace, she was in the bondage to Church of Christ doctrine. Church of Christ doctrine is do. And Ed had saw grace. And you know, we like it. Well, Ed, when he says, is it okay that I just believe it? And if I want to believe it? But when he believed it. And she saw it, and she says, what'd you say? What was your...
I wish I could be as free as you are.
Was she? Mm-hmm. Was she as free as he was?
According to the word.
Wait, say it again.
According to the word.
According to the word. She was as free as he was doctrinally, wasn't it? Yeah. But she didn't embrace the doctrine.
Right.
So her inability to embrace the doctrine hindered her ability to what?
Believe.
To appreciate her freedom. All right, hold your head, keep in Timothy. Look at Galatians. Flip back to Galatians. Chapter 5. Verse 1. What was the Galatians' problem?
Mixing
grace with the law.
Mixing grace with the law. What's law?
Do.
Do. They were mixing do, or they were mixing performance with what?
Grace.
Right. Mixing works and grace. Right? Okay. Paul says this. He wrote to them, verse 5, verse 1, "Stand fast, therefore, in the
liberty
wherewith Christ hath made us
free.
Okay. "Stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you. For I testify to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace." Now, he's saying, we think of law, all we think about is Ten Commandments. We don't think law is serving on usher board to please God. We don't think, or singing in a choir to impress God, or parking the cars in the parking lot to impress God. We just associate it with thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal. But the law was a performance. And you say, well, how can I please God? Ask your former pastor or a pastor. Just go to him and say, you know, I just got saved and I really want to walk right. And you say, I just want to know, as a man of God, what can I do to please God? He'll pull out a whole list of things. Well, this, and a few of his own. Well, they will all be his own, actually. They will be his own. But you'll get a varied list from every pastor that you speak to. Because he's putting the bondage on you. But what does God say? He says, stand fast in the liberty. What is that?
Freedom.
Freedom.
Freedom from what?
The dues.
Freedom from performance. So how do I please God? By my performance or by his performance? Christ. By his performance.
That's all.
So, he says to the Galatians and us to stand fast. That's the doctrine.
Amen.
So you say, well, I'm free. Right? Free to what?
Free to not worry about going to hell anymore.
Now, he keeps going. He says this. Verse 6. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Right? He says we are waiting right now for all. We have a perfect standing. When God sees you, he sees you righteous.
Amen.
So righteous that he says we're already in heaven. Didn't he say that? Ephesians.
Amen.
He has raised us up and made us sit together
in heavenly places
in Christ.
Amen.
You're there. He says, now, you have something on this side, though, that you can do. All this, he says, look at verse 13. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this: thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Well, the obvious question would be, how do I walk in the Spirit? Right. You know, and walk, that word walk is a interesting word. Is it always has to do with, I just came from the hospital, and one of my cousins was the nurse there. She worked in that hospital. She was a nurse. And her job was to, she had eight different patients, and she went around and she checked on all the patients, make sure they had everything they needed to be comfortable tonight, or all the medication. And those duties, they call them peripatetic, which means they just walked around the hospital and they checked in on the things that needed to be done. Unbelievers, he says, walk in the Spirit. It's the same word. We are to walk around, spiritually speaking, and entertain ourselves with the things of the Spirit, which is His Word, which are spiritual things.
Yes.
And spiritual singing and making melody in your heart, spiritual songs.
Mm-hmm.
And those things begin to, if you occupy yourself with those things,
mm-hmm.
they begin to have an effect.
Amen.
Why?
Because the Word is written.
Because it's spiritual.
Amen.
He says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit. Be occupied with the Spirit.
Life is in the Spirit. Live in the Spirit.
Right. When he says to the Corinthians that we have been all been made to drink into one Spirit.
I just thought about the reverse of that in the Old Testament. It says that can a man take a fire into his bosom and not be burned? It's just the opposite.
Can a man take the Word into his
Spirit?
Spirit? Right.
By that Word.
That's
Word and Spirit working together.
It'll work effectually when you believe it. So he says, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh, 17, lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if ye be,
I was going to say, it's like the law of gravity. It's undeniable.
That's what he says in Romans.
Yeah.
The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of
sin and death.
How? He that, if you have the Son,
has life.
Okay.
So he says, here's your responsibility then, is be responsible to the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
You can't say that I have to go back to the flesh because he owns me. Is that an accurate statement?
No.
Okay. Verse 18. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Okay. How does the Spirit lead you? Do you get a funny feeling? And
by the doctrine.
By the doctrine.
Amen.
Remember the story, the Pied Piper?
Yeah.
How he led the mice out of the city? How did he lead them out?
Followed the tune.
He piped,
mm-hmm.
and they all followed behind him. Well, when the Lord pipes, it just happens to be this way. That's how the Spirit leads you. With His Word. With this Word. Let's just read through there. 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, and I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness. What's after that? My page is torn out. Faith, gentleness, goodness.
Self-control.
Faith, meekness, temperance.
Against such there is no law.
Against such
there is no law.
Can somebody tell you that, you know, Michael, Angela, Karen, all you have children that, you know, you loving your children too much. Or you have too much joy. You got to stop that.
There's no law.
Or they says you have too much faith. No. You believe this too much.
Mm-hmm. No law.
Or that says, you're too gentle. You handle that situation, or you're just too meek. Mm-hmm. You have to be mean sometimes, right? Or you're just too good. They may say it, but they can't say, but they can tell you this, that
drinking too much.
That's too much drinking. Right. Right. Or any one of these. Mm-hmm. Couldn't they?
Mm-hmm.
Because when the Spirit is working,
no law.
There's no law. The law worketh wrath.
Yes.
There's not a fruit on that list, in that list, that you can look at and say that should be cut out.
The law was also, I'm not saying I know this for a fact, one of the purposes of the law was to separate so that the people around Israel could look at them and say there's something different about you, and therefore you know, one is the deeds of the flesh versus the fruit
mm-hmm.
of the Spirit.
Which we talked about last week is the works of the flesh come from the old man. Mm-hmm. The fruit of the Spirit come from the new man.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't say that the fruit of Michael. Did he?
Didn't even say the fruit of the belief?
He said the fruit of the
Spirit.
So who's producing this?
Spirit.
All you do is Romans. You yield to this.
That's it.
And then he begins to work it out. You are a new man, aren't you?
Amen.
Well, we are a new creation, right?
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
Not this thing right here. Is inside.
Amen.
So he has something to work with.
Amen.
So the fruit of the Spirit begins to be manifest in our lives only when you get the doctrine. So to like Annette, where she was never free.
Right.
She couldn't begin to even think about fruit
right.
of the Spirit because she hadn't taken him at his word to be free yet. Right? Because once she says, okay, now I'm free in my liberty, and then she can say, well, I'm free in my liberty, now I can go over here and begin to yield to the Spirit.
That's it.
I could be led by the Spirit now.
Right.
Yeah.
I said you've been taught.
I think I might have said this before, but I'm going to say it again. One of my favorite movies is Rambo.
Yeah.
Rambo 2, where they told him to go over there and take pictures, you know, about the war, the prisoners of war. They didn't want him to free them. If there were any, they said, well, go over and take pictures and bring the information back. Well, he had a love for, he was a military man, he had love for them. So when he went over and he saw that there were prisoners in there, he began to try to free them. And he did. He freed some of them. And they asked him, what are you doing? You know, why would you go over there and leave a person? Why would you leave them in bondage? Right?
Mm-hmm.
And the same with us is, when you see a believer like Ed, he says, look at the grace that I have. Look at this that's available for us. Why would you have this grace doctrine, know that you're free, and sit on it? Where you see a fellow believer in bondage or being entangled again with the yoke of bondage. And I don't know what Michael and Angela saw, but I bet you they saw that's freedom.
Mm-hmm.
That message, that doctrine is freedom.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you,
Jesus.
Am I right? So you don't know, Harriet Tubman said this. She says, I could have freed a lot more slaves if only they'd known they were slaves. Believers don't know they're in bondage because they're not listening to the right doctrine. The Apostle Paul, he says, I have 1 Timothy chapter 1 Timothy chapter 1. I'm wrong. 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. We'll start at verse. You know what? Go back a little bit to verse chapter 2. In verse 23. Now this is right after Paul tells us to rightly divide the word of truth. In 2:15, he says, Timothy, you rightly divide the word of truth, that you might show yourself approved unto God. Right? Okay. Verse 20. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do engender strifes. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Do you know, if you don't know the grace doctrine, which is the doctrine that frees you, you know you're in bondage?
Mm-hmm.
To the devil. See, we think it's bad. We think the devil is with a red horn, you know, with a red suit, pitchfork, and horns. We don't think the devil is the man that's putting you on the building fund.
Okay.
Or the building fund yoke.
Mm-hmm.
Or whatever the performance is that keeps you from seeing your liberty in Christ.
Amen.
Paul told them in Philippians that they are enemies of the cross of Christ. How could a saved man be the enemy of the cross of Christ? He didn't say an enemy of Christ. He said an enemy of the cross of Christ.
Don't know.
An enemy. What does the cross of Christ stand for?
Suffering.
Suffering. Not just that.
Propitiation.
Oh, everything. Everything that he's free to do for us. Everything that he was free to give us. And you tell a man that, yeah, you can believe in Christ, but what? Whatever he injects in it, after that, is not necessary. So that's telling the man that his death was not effectual. Or his death, what he accomplished, it was almost enough.
Right, not enough.
But if you do this,
right,
you'd be all right. Like the Galatians. He says, oh, foolish, you foolish. How can you begin in the Spirit and be made perfect? How can you say he did it all and then add the icing on the cake? You can't do it. So the doctrine frees you to live in Christ.
Amen.
So what makes me live for him is this, because I know I have everything in him.
Amen.
And if I stand right here and start spewing out obscenities, guess what? What would happen to me? Is God going to get me?
No.
Are you sure?
You're free.
To spew out obscenities? I can say right here, I can say anything.
You get that for you.
But I've used that liberty as a what? Occasion to the flesh. But the doctrine would tell me that I should speak the truth in love or let no corrupt communication. And it's how I yield to that doctrine is whether you see it displayed or not. Could if I did that, you would say, he can't be saved.
I'd go get a thermometer.
You know, that's funny. There was a guy that I know in Detroit, Ed, and like I'd call him sometimes, and he'd call me, and some days he'd call, he'd be on fire, man. He'd be, oh, look at this. It's like, and then it'd go, I wouldn't hear from him for months. So sometime, and I'd call, and I said, hey, brother. And I said, how you doing? I said, I'm just calling to check your temperature. But it was a joke.
Yeah.
Because he's familiar with the message. But see, if I didn't know the doctrine, then I would say he backslid. Or whatever the terminology you want to use.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I just know this. I don't even know that. But maybe the doctrine wasn't working in him. Maybe it peaks and then goes down, or maybe he has surges, peaks and valleys of his walk, like us, right? Some days you like the doctrine, some days you don't like the doctrine. Some days you, right? Oh. Some hours you do this, some hours you see it right here. We're all, oh, this word is good. As soon as we get home, we begin to be indoctrinated by the flesh again, right? Oh, it's going. What about your salvation? Really?
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, for the little ears, I could go home and watch, you know, those shows. I could do that as a saved man. And we just spent all this time in the Word, and I'm telling you this, put the doctrine on. live in the doctrine, and I can go home and
be just flesh.
What? Where do I stand? In Christ.
You're still in Him.
You still have everything.
What?
Have the liberty.
You're just not being edified.
I'm not yielding to
the Spirit.
Right.
Flesh.
So, you see how? But this is what freedom is. This is what the grace. This is what we can abuse it. But it's not His will that we abuse it. It's not His will that we abuse our liberty in Christ. You have to say that because people will go out and that's the thing they'll have in their head, that I can do anything I want to do. It's not His will that we abuse our liberty in Christ. So when you start talking to people about the grace message, don't tell them you can do anything you want to and still be saved. That's not what we teach. That's not what the grace doctrine teaches.
Amen. That's true.
And if somebody says, that's what the grace doctrine teaches, you can do what you want to do. Let me ask you this. How many believers do what they want to do?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yep, all of them.
Are you sure?
Yeah, exactly.
What about the ones that go to the holiness church?
They're doing what they want to do.
They're on the legalism.
What about the ones that go to the Church of Christ?
They're doing what they
got to follow man.
No, I mean, when I say do what they want to do, I mean as far as they're fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. How many do what they want to do? Okay. How many of us do what we want to do?
All of them.
How many of us, when we're doing what we want to do, know that verse in your mind? How many have that verse in their mind when they're doing what they want to do? The counter verse. Yes. The counter. Like, don't do this, do this. Like this. Walk in the Spirit and you should not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Or where he says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, and then you are using profanity, mm-hmm, or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. When I say, how many know that you have the offset truth in your mind? Your verses. How many call the verses to memory when you're walking in the flesh?
Yes.
Maybe I'm not saying it's clear enough.
Be angry,
say not. Well, I'm not. When I'm walking in the flesh, I'm not recalling verses at all.
I do too.
While you walk in the flesh?
Yeah.
You're condemning yourself.
Listen.
You're going, I know the truth.
Right.
And I'm doing otherwise.
I see the verses before I do it, during, and after.
Process verses.
But that goes back to, but if maybe the information is just not there. But I do. I was talking to a customer today, and as soon as he picked up the phone, he was in on me. Bam. I don't see why. That company is incompetent. I've been waiting 6 days for this, and while I'm listening to him, the doctrine is there. The doctrine said, don't retaliate in the flesh. He's talking, and he goes on, and finally I said, listen, number one, I don't even know who you are. I haven't been talking to you. So I've been talking to this other man. I don't even know who you are. I've never talked to you. You don't know the conversation. I said, what you're doing is getting third-hand information, and you're taking it for truth, and you don't know what happened. It's in my mind, too. Right now, while I'm talking to him, it's in my mind is, you are angry. You are letting the old man dominate your speech. So he goes on, he says, well, I've been dealing with this company and I've never had this. I said, sir, I said, again, I never talked to you. I don't know why you are calling me saying that. I says, on top of that, the part is on the way. I said, if you're losing that much money, then he should have gave me the okay 2 days ago to send this part in instead of haggling over a few $1,000s. If you're losing so much money per day, the doctrine's still in my head. I'm yielding to the flesh. And while I'm there, I said, hey. And on top of that, you're getting two valves tomorrow. I'm not going to try to cancel the other one. I said, you'll get two shipments. And he said, well, I'll just cancel the other one. I said, well, we'll have to deal with that when you get them. But you will get two tomorrow because I can't cancel the other one.
You showed him, didn't you?
I showed him. And I hung up. And you know what? When I hung up, I said, no, you know what? I said, the thing I thought about was I just blasphemed God in front of these people in the office. I didn't think about me. I mean, that's, Lord, please forgive me. I said, I just put a giant hurdle in front of these people. That's what bothered me. And that customer.
He bothered you too, didn't
he? Well, the way I responded to him, because
it's out there.
It's done. So when the sin had finished, it brought forth
death.
So I died. My testimony died a little bit that day, today. Look at Titus. We're going to stop.
Hey, we just continually a work in progress.
Right. Now, my flesh said, don't you feel so much better now? And I said, yeah, Frank, I do. But the real me said,
yeah, I'm sorry, Lord.
You feel better now? And I said, no, I don't. I don't. Like Paul said, I don't. When I want to do good, I find this guy wants to do the opposite. So you still, you think of this, you say, well, the old man says, you did the right thing. Mm-hmm. Don't let him talk to you like that. You know how hard you worked for him?
Don't beat yourself up.
Right. That's all right. Forget about it. They'll forget about it tomorrow. It happens all the time. It happens to the best of them. You'll be okay. And if he calls back tomorrow, you could do it again. Listen, this is comical, but that's the conversation that goes on. But the new man says, you know, you could have stopped at any point. And just let him talk. What did you have to lose? He said, you know what you did? You came alive. You let the old man come alive. And he beat you. Mm-hmm. Titus 2. But speak the things which become sound doctrine. Speak, teach the things that become sound doctrine. You know, they say, you know what, that hairstyle is becoming on you. Or, you know, that dress is becoming on you. What does that mean? It looks good. It looks good on you. You speak the things that looks good on the believer. That the aged men be grave, temperate, sound in faith and charity and patient. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their children, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. That's the thing right there.
Amen.
How can a believer blaspheme the word of God? You know what? By walking in the flesh. Not only that, the Lord said this in Matthew. He says, all manner of blasphemy will be forgiven you. If you speak against the Father, it'll be forgiven you. If you speak against the Son, it'll be forgiven you. But if you speak against the Holy Spirit, that's what they call it, the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. But he said this. The Pharisees and the Sadducees said this. They says, what this man is operating on is the spirit of the devil, not the spirit of Christ. So they spoke against the power of the Holy Spirit. So when we begin to walk in the flesh and display those traits of the flesh as believers, we are actually countering the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is saying, I don't work like that. That stuff you did today, I don't work like that. That's not my fruit. So people see that and they say, if that's a Christian, you just... Blasphemy means to speak evil of, to speak ill of. And the Holy Spirit says, that's not me. That's Lawrence. That ain't the new Lawrence. That's the old Lawrence. And he says, you speak the doctrine. You line up with the doctrine that is becoming Christ. Now, I know that was choppy, but if we go along and we just remember the doctrine, this doctrine, it not only frees us, it frees us to live for God.
Amen.
But you got to get it. You got to get the doctrine. So like when Ed said, he said, that didn't come to my mind. Now, maybe certain times it doesn't come to his mind, but the more you begin to take that doctrine in, I believe it'll come to your mind and it'll begin to work.
Lawrence and I have a saying with the Spirit of God, it gives you the power to say no to sin.
He is the power to say no to sin. And you know what I like about it is this, is like Ed said, he said, I've been saved 30 something years. Mm-hmm. Well, he's 35 years old. Mm-hmm. I'm 20 something years old. Mm-hmm. However long we've been in it.
Mm-hmm. Still going.
So you'll never get to a spot where you say, I got it.
Right.
Okay. I got it. Like Paul said, I press toward this. And what I really like is this, and we'll stop. He says, I forget. Yesterday?
Thank the Lord.
Thank the Lord. Can you imagine that the things that we've done in the past, if we let them keep us from growing in grace?
Yeah, let them go.
We'd all be at home. Under the bed, moping.
There is now no condemnation
to them that are in Christ Jesus. Believers are just expected to walk a different path.
Absolutely.
Right.
You know, obviously different.
Amen.
But that's where you have to. We go with God's expectations.
Right.
And the. But he says that's why it's important, because people are watching your tracks. They're watching you.
Amen.
And you're supposed to represent Christ.
Amen.
And I'm not doing this to prove to you I'm saved.
Right.
I'm not doing this to stay saved. I'm doing this because I am saved and my Father asked me to represent his name. To do the things that become him. They said, boy, you a moss. Don't let me catch you out there doing that stuff. You ever heard that? You are marked. Yeah. You're not. You do what the marks do. Don't let me catch you out there. We got a name to uphold. You ever heard that? I know y'all heard. Yeah, Vera? Anyway.
This family.
Right. We had some friends down south when we visited Ellis's. And I used to be, they had so much fun. And I say, I want to go down and play with the Ellis's. No. We don't play with the Ellis's. I didn't know what she meant then, but now I know the Ellis's. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you just for the doctrine that you have put in this book for us. Lord, help us to just embrace the doctrine that we might do those things that you find worthy and well-pleasing. We won't understand all this in one day and in one lifetime. Amen. We just thank you for the pursuit of holiness. We thank you for the opportunity we have to perfect holiness in the fear of the Lord. Oh, we thank you again for the doctrine. We thank you for the privilege and opportunity to come together as a body. Lord, take these things and we pray that you impress them on our hearts and on our minds, that the fruit might be seen in our lives to your glory. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen.